Welcome to My Father's House Podcast, Episode 241. Pastor Harley Coulterman conducted this ordination service for Santos and Sarah Velasquez on Sunday, January 30th, 2022, in Fort Wayne, Indiana.
All right. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Pastor Don. That was great. Awesome. I had no idea that the title of my message today is The Fire of God, the mantle that comes on people when they say yes to Jesus. So, Father, we just thank you that this is a great day. This is an awesome day. This is the day that you have made. We're glad and rejoice in it. And, Father, even though various people might have had some adversity this morning in either getting here or after coming here or whatever, we thank you that you're a God of mercy, you're a God of grace, you're a God that has given us favor, and we thank you for your blessing on this house, your house, the house of prayer for all nations, a place where there's a place for everyone who has a heart for God. And so, Father, we thank you. We're grateful. We're grateful for the past. We're grateful for what you're doing in the present, and we're looking so forward to the future with you here and in eternity, in Jesus' name. And for it, we give you glory, honor, and praise today, because Jesus, you are the King of Kings, and you are the Lord of Lords, the Lord of glory. We honor you in this place today. Your name is above every name in earth, heaven, and hell. And at the mention of your name, every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess, Jesus, that you are the Lord. And it's in your name that we open this service. Amen and amen. Praise the Lord. Well, we want to welcome you this morning. This is a special day. It's a special day for Sarah and Santos, especially. But it's a special day for this church family because we're not going backwards. We're going forward. Amen. Praise the Lord. So it seems like yesterday that we came to Fort Wayne, but it's been a few years. And sometimes we look at things and we think, well, it should have been greater, it should have been better. But, you know, God knows what he's doing because he's not interested in just the day-to-day things. He's interested in your future. He's interested in taking you for the long haul. He's interested in the next generation. So it's exciting to be a part of what he's doing today here in this city. We may not have accomplished everything yet that he has called us to do, but we're setting out to do that according to his plan and according to his purpose. Many years ago, Pastor Karen received a scripture that kind of has kept us going over the years. It's from Isaiah chapter 54. it's about your tent. It says, you know, that you should spread your tent, make it bigger. You should strengthen the stakes and lengthen the cords and make it stronger, and that you should be prepared. Why should you be prepared? Because there's another generation coming. And so we have kind of tried to live that scripture the best we knew how, and we've made a lot of mistakes along the way, but praise God, we're still here, and God is still good. He's faithful, and he's unrelenting with his mercy and his grace towards his people whose hearts are open to him. So we have a great future ahead of us, and we're looking forward to Sarah and Santos being part of that future, and we'll speak a little bit more into that as we go. So in Ephesians chapter 4, I'm speaking today about the fire of God, the mantle from heaven. In Ephesians chapter 4, it says that Jesus has given five special gifts to his church: the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors, and teachers. And the calling to those offices is a really great honor, not because of the people who are called to the office, but because of the person who is the giver of those gifts. That's why it is a great honor to be a part of what God is doing. And so, as a congregation and as the people of God, it's also required of us who follow Jesus to be respectful of that honor that he's given those offices and the people who fill those offices. You can read about that in Romans chapter 13, the first 8 verses. So today we have the privilege of ordaining Santos and Sarah Velasquez into the ministry of the gospel of Jesus Christ. But Jesus is the one who calls them, and Jesus is the one who gives them as a gift. So here at this church family, they'll become associate ministers, associate pastors, and they will be aiding us as we go forward in the work of the ministry. You know, the Bible says that these gifts were given to edify the body of Christ, that is to build up the body of Christ, and to equip them for the work of ministry. So both Sarah and Santos have already been involved in that aspect of the ministry as leadership in various areas. So we're grateful and we're thankful for their service. And today, God is also recognizing that service in another step in their ministries. So I'm going to speak to you from the Old Testament about the fire of God and the mantle from heaven. The story of Elisha in 2 Kings chapter 2. So most of you are probably familiar with this story to some degree. And it came to the time when Elijah was about to leave the face of the earth. You know, he and Enoch were one of two people who never died. They just went to heaven. So pretty amazing characters in the Bible. But when his ministry was terminating and he was getting ready to go to heaven, he had his servant, basically the man who had served him for many years, he had him with him, and he kept telling him, "You just stay here and I'm going to go on. But Elisha refused to leave him. He said, "I am not leaving you. I'm going to go with you." And so the first part of 1 Kings chapter 2 is part of that story. But I want to pick it up at verse 6 what I want to talk about is really starting. It said, "Then Elijah said to him, 'You stay here because the Lord has sent me on to Jordan.' But he said," this is Elisha, "'As the Lord lives and as your soul lives, I will not leave you.' And so the two of them went and stood by the Jordan. Now Elijah took his mantle and rolled it up, and he struck the water, and it was divided this way and that, so that the two of them crossed over on dry ground." So we know this miracle of parting the waters is not a new one, because Moses had done it with the Red Sea when the Israelites came out of bondage and came into the land of promise, a 40-year trip, a three-week trip that turned into a 40-year trip. And so this performance of this miracle also was done when the Israelites crossed the Jordan to come into the promised land with their general and their leader, Joshua. So this is not a new phenomena, but it is a sign of the mantle of God and the mark of God. So he takes his mantle and he hits the water and the water parts. So everybody knows you can't just, you know, walk up to, so, you know, go down to St. Mary's and, you know, take your coat off and swat the water and expect, you know, that you're going to walk through on dry ground. That's just not the ordinary operation. You better find a bridge or a boat or something to get across, because otherwise you're going to be treading some mighty deep and fast waters. But This is a sign of the miracle-working power of God, the anointing that comes on a person of God to operate in the gifts and the ministries of the Holy Spirit. Now, the Bible says that each person is given specific gifts, that God is the determiner of that. We're not the determiner of that. But at some point, you become conscious of the giftings that God has given you, or you should become conscious of it, because otherwise you're just kind of muddling along. But God has a calling and an anointing for every person who comes to Jesus. I mean, you aren't left out. The Bible says that every part of the body is important, that we're all members of the same body, and we can't function without each other. So whether somebody is in a particular office or position doesn't make them better than a person who is not in that office or in another office or not even in any office that's specific, because every person has their part to play in the kingdom of God. Everybody is important. Everybody is a key to what God is doing and the move of the Spirit that's in the land. So we should find that place. We should seek, you know, to allow God to use us. And as Sarah shared so well just a few minutes ago, there are many times that you have to say yes to God for that to happen. Because when you say no, or you say maybe, or you say I can't, or you say I don't know how, or make all kinds of excuses for not doing what God wants you to do. You're just holding back what God wants to do in your life. So I encourage you to follow her counsel and to say yes. Yes, Lord, here I am. Send me. I may not feel adequate, but you must think I'm up to the task if you're asking me to do this. Amen? So it's about an attitude of your heart that really opens the way for God to do things in your life. Sometimes we want to be things that we shouldn't be, or, you know, we aspire to things that are not really a good fit for us. And the God who created you knows exactly how you're put together. And he knows exactly what you need to do in life. And he knows exactly where to put you to get that. So if you make that series of yeses, you will find that place in him where you can be used in mighty ways for the kingdom of God and for his glory and for his plan and purpose. Praise the Lord. So here it says in verse 7, it says the 50 of the men. It says, but he said, as the Lord lives and as your soul lives, I will not leave you. So the two of them went on, and 50 men of the sons of the prophets went and stood facing them a distance while the two of them stood by the Jordan. Now Elijah took his mantle, he rolled it up, he struck the water, and it was divided this way and that, and the two crossed over on dry ground. So then I want to talk a little bit about knowing your calling. Verse 9 says, and so it was that as they crossed over, that Elijah said to Elisha, ask, what may I do for you before I am taken away from you? And Elisha said, please let a double portion of your spirit be upon me. So he said, you have asked a hard thing. Nevertheless, if you see me when I'm taken from you, it shall be so for you. But if not, it shall not be so. Then it happened that as they continued on and talked, that suddenly a chariot appeared with horses of fire and separated the two of them, and Elijah went up by a whirlwind into heaven. What an amazing way to depart the earth. Praise the Lord. But what I want you to look at is what Elisha said. He said, please let a double portion of your spirit be upon you. Now, over the years, I've been in the ministry with Dr. Lester Sumrall, my pastor, and there were always people that were coming up that wanted his anointing. And some of them were bold enough to ask for it. But usually it was people that had no kind of relationship with him, didn't know him, he didn't know them. There was no connection anywhere. There was no whatever. And I watched him, how he handled it. He was always kind and, you know, pleasant about it. But, you know, some things are just not yours to give. Because like Elijah told Elisha, he said, you know, I can't say yes or no, but if you do see me go up, it's a sign that it's yours. But the thing I want you to really look at here is Elisha knew that he had a calling on his life. He wasn't questioning his calling. He had inside of him, he knew that he was going to be the successor to Elisha. He had that knowing inside of him. You say, well, how did he know that? Well, when you serve God by serving others that are in the ministry, you begin to know some things. You begin to sense the anointing of God. Sometimes you can feel that anointing coming on you. You can feel transition coming to you. You can feel impartation that comes to you. And you can hear the voice of God because God begins to speak to you about those things. So Elisha had served Elijah many years. The Bible says that he was just a servant. In one place it said he just poured water over the hands of Elijah. So you think, why would that earn anybody any anointing? Washing the hands of the prophet. But the Bible says that Jesus taught that whenever you serve a person who is serving God, you're serving God himself. And so God is the rewarder of those who diligently seek him. He's the rewarder of those who are faithful in their service to him and their service to the kingdom of God. So God isn't playing favorites when he has one person do one thing and another person do another thing. He has a plan and he has a purpose and he's carrying it out. The Bible teaches us that Jesus had 12 main disciples and then he had 70 others, and then there are surely many more that were connected with his group. There were even women that supported his ministry because they were women of means. And they gave and they sacrificed, as Pastor Don was talking about, so that Jesus could do his ministry. He had a treasurer. I mean, you don't need a treasurer if you only got two pennies in the bag. But he had a treasurer, and this treasurer actually was stealing money out of it, and nobody knew. So there must have been some money in there. There must have been some real coin in there. So, but Jesus had this people around him, but he had this 12 disciples that he spent most of his time with. But there were three disciples, Peter, James, and John, who were the close inner circle of Jesus. And they got to see things and talk to Jesus about other things that other disciples didn't. And in fact, in some cases, it caused a little bit of jealousy when James and John's mother came and said, you know, put one at your right, put one at your left. And the rest of the disciples are saying, who do you think you are? You know, but Jesus is the one who calls, and he's the one who appoints, and he's the one who gives gifts to the church, isn't he? Amen. So knowing your calling is really, really important, because if you don't know your calling, you'll never step into it. But then it's important to have your calling confirmed. In verse 12, it says, and Elisha saw it, and he cried out, my father, the chariot of Israel and its horsemen. So he saw him no more, and he took a hold of his own clothes, and he tore them in two pieces. That was a sign of grief in their culture. But he had his calling confirmed because he saw him go to heaven. So verse 13, it says that he took also the mantle of Elijah that had fallen from him, and he went back and he stood by the Jordan, by the bank of the Jordan. Then he took the mantle of Elijah that had fallen from him, and he struck the water and said, where is the Lord God of Elijah? And when he had also struck the water, it was divided this way and that, and Elisha crossed over. So here you see a confirmation, really, of his calling, a confirmation of the ministry that he had. The first miracle that he performed here was at the Jordan, the same miracle that Elijah performed to get across the Jordan, he received to come back. So he took that mantle that came from the chariots of fire and the horsemen, he took that mantle and he hit the water, and the waters parted, a miracle from God. Now, the Bible records many miracles that Elisha did. He did, if you do a count, I actually haven't done this count personally, but I've read that others have done this count, and the count exactly doubled the number of miracles that Elijah did or recorded for the prophet Elisha. So it's an amazing kind of symbolism of the double portion of anointing that came on Elisha, just as he had requested from God. So in the New Covenant sense, you know, the Bible says that we're supposed to covet the best gifts. So there's nothing wrong with being greedy about getting the gifts of God in your life. It's not being, you know, it's the only place in the Bible where it really tells you to covet. Otherwise, it says you shall not covet your neighbor's wife, your neighbor's farm, your neighbor's stuff. You're not supposed to covet and want and desire the stuff that belongs to others. You're just supposed to rejoice with people when they get blessed. Amen. But when it comes to spiritual gifts, it's all right to be a little bit greedy and say, Father, I'd like to have that one. Now, you aren't the determining factor. He's the determining factor. So, you know, you have to come to the end of it. That's one of those prayers that you say, Lord, if it's your will. Because, you know, he will honor your prayer of faith. But when it comes to gifts, he's the determining factor. And you will get the ones that best fit you. And you'll get the ones that best suit you. And you will get the ones that he will use you to minister the most into the kingdom of God. You can, there's people right now as I'm speaking, you're receiving giftings from God. There's an anointing in this place, and it's coming in to God's people. And if you just keep your heart open and your mouth closed, you will receive, because God has giftings for you. He has blessings for you. This is an impartation service. This is a gifting service, and God is already doing it. But what I want you to notice here, when he struck the water with the coat, he was saying, where is the God of Elijah? What did he mean by that? Well, Elijah was known primarily for one tremendous miracle. It was the miracle when the fire from heaven came, fell on the altar, and burned up everything, burned up even the dust. It burned the altar, and everything was consumed by the fire of God. So when he said, where is the God of Elijah? He's saying, God, I want to see that fire. I want to see that fire from heaven come on me like it came on my master, Elijah. And so, trying to get phones to shut up is an interesting task, right? Talking to you, talking to me right in the middle of the message. So, I don't need you, Siri, in Jesus' name. So, hallelujah. God is good, and he answers by fire. He is the God that answers by fire. And so when Elisha got to that place, he found the God of Elijah. The God of Elijah just showed up in the life of Elisha. And so we'll see later on, as I come back to this section in 2 Kings, that even the prophets across the river recognized the anointing of God that had come on him. But I want to talk for just a few minutes about how this relates to the New Testament and some Bible facts about New Covenant calling. First of all, 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 13 says, Paul is giving instructions to young pastor Timothy. He said, "Till I come, give attention to the reading, to exhortation, and to doctrine." Reading would be reading the scriptures. Exhortation would be exhorting people, would be challenging people, encouraging people, exhorting people to do the right thing, to go the right way, etc., etc. And to doctrine. Doctrine is simply teaching. So so those three things are real keys to new covenant callings on the people of God. They must be able to share the scriptures. They must be able to teach, to exhort people. They must be able to teach the word of God. Verse 14 says, "Do not neglect the gift that is in you, which is given to you by prophecy with the laying on of hands of the eldership or of the leaders. Meditate on these things. Give yourself entirely to them, that your progress may be evident to all." So what it says is that we should be making progress in our walk with God and in the callings that God has on our lives. We should be proceeding in those callings, and we should be making some progress that's evident to everybody. And especially, we should never neglect the impartation that we received when hands were laid on us, installing us into those ministries and those callings. Then in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 6, it says, "Therefore I remind you to stir up the gift of God which is in you through the laying on of my hands. For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind." One of the greatest attacks against any kind of ministry that God will ever call you to is fear and intimidation. The devil will try to intimidate you, silence you, shut your mouth, keep you out, shut you down, close you out, and do other kinds of stuff to distract you, keep you from doing the work of the ministry. But Paul says to Timothy, meditate on these things and give yourself so that you will not have that happen to you. And then he said, God has not given you a spirit of fear. He's given you power, love, and a sound mind, self-control, discipline. He's given those things to you. But you have to stir the gift of God which is in you. You know, sometimes people don't understand that. They think, well, if you get the gift of God, you know, it's like a switch. You come into the service, you turn on the switch, and it's on. It doesn't work that way. Every gift and ministry of the Holy Spirit works by walking in faith. Faith is the switch that turns the gifting on. And when you walk in faith, many times you don't feel anything. Many times you don't see anything. You're just taking a step. But when you take that step, Jesus makes the water solid underneath you. And instead of sinking beneath the waves of doubt and fear and unbelief, you rise on the crest of the wave and you ride the wave to the victory that Jesus has for you. It's an amazing, amazing thing. I can't tell you exactly how that feels sometimes, and how sometimes it feels like nothing. You don't feel anything. It's not a feeling. It's by the Spirit of God. It's not by might. It's not by power. But it's by the Spirit of the Lord that these things operate. So 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 4 says, "Now there are distinctive varieties." I'm reading this out of the Amplified, so it will read a little different in probably the version you're using. But but I think this brings it out a little better. There are distinctive varieties and distributions of endowments, gifts, extraordinary powers, distinguishing certain Christians due to the power of divine grace operating in their souls by the Holy Spirit, and they vary, but the Holy Spirit remains the same. So there are different kinds of gifts, extraordinary things that God does. But it's still the same Holy Spirit. So each of us, no matter what our calling is, we can receive, and we have the gifts of God within us. They're extraordinary, they're supernatural, but it's the same Holy Spirit that puts each of those gifts. Sometimes people who have different giftings don't understand each other, and so they start fighting each other because, you know, one sees one way, another sees another way, another doesn't see anything, and so we have to learn to work together with the giftings so that we can operate in the kingdom of God and not kill each other in the process of doing it. But there are these differences, and remember, it's the same Holy Spirit in each case. Verse 5 says, there are distinctive varieties of service and ministration, but it is the same Lord who is served. So we don't all have the same kind of service and of administration, but it's okay, because it's the Lord we're serving. We're not serving some master down here. We're serving the Lord God. So we have to recognize that just because someone does it a different way than you do it, doesn't make it the wrong way. It doesn't make it the only way. But we have to work together for the good of the kingdom and serve God together as a team so that we can accomplish the things that God has called us to do. Then it says there are distinctive varieties of operation, of working to accomplish things, but it is the same God who inspires and energizes them all in all. So we have to recognize that there's diversity and there's differences, but we have to work together to accomplish the common good that God has set before us. Praise the Lord. Verse 7, but to each one is given the ministration of the Holy Spirit, the evidence, the spiritual illumination of the Spirit for the good and profit, and some versions say for the profit of all, so that everybody can profit. So the reason that these giftings are given to people and these endowments are given to people is so that everybody can profit. God is interested in your well-being. He's interested in the well-being of the body of Christ, and he wants it to be functioning well. He doesn't want it to be sick. He doesn't want it to be injured. He doesn't want it to be lame. He wants it to be vibrant and strong and full of faith and full of strength of the Holy Spirit. Praise the Lord. That's why he's given those gifts. Praise God. So Romans chapter 11 is another scripture. For God's gifts and his call can never be withdrawn. That's interesting. The Bible says, some versions say it's irrevocable or cannot be revoked. So when God puts a calling on somebody, he never takes it back. He never repents about it. He just keeps moving you forward. Praise the Lord. Okay, so I'm going to come back to this in just a few minutes, but we're going to have a special time for Santos's father to actually pray over Santos and Sarah. So I'm going to ask Sarah and Santos to come forward. And Santos is making a connection on the phone. There's a little bit of a time issue here, so we're doing that here in this part of the service so that they can receive the blessing of Santos's father, who is pastoring in Mexico. Praise the Lord. So, praise the Lord. Are we connected?
We are connected.
All right. So, I want to talk to him just for a second. Brother Cerrito. Are you there? You're on speaker?
Yeah.
Okay. We're so glad you could join us this morning to pray at this important time.
Estamos muy contentos que está usted con nosotros para este tiempo esta mañana.
Thank you for taking the time to do this.
Muchas gracias por tomarse su tiempo para hacer esto.
We love your son and your daughter-in-law.
Amamos mucho a su hijo y a su nuera.
And we're grateful that you can pray over them this morning.
Y estamos muy contentos que usted pueda orar sobre ellos.
So go ahead and pray.
Okay, ahora puede usted orar, Cirilo, y dame un poquito de tiempo para interpretar, por favor.
Está bien. Bien. Gracias, Padre, por tu grande misericordia, Señor.
Gracias, Padre.
Thank you, God, for your great mercy over us.
Y ahora vengo a ti, Padre, para pedirte que tú bendigas a Santos y a Sara.
Father, and I come to you this morning, Father, to ask you that you would bless Santos and Sara.
Que tú los unjas con tu gran poder.
That you would bless him with your great power.
Y que ellos te puedan servir para lo que tú nos has enviado.
And may they serve you, Father, for what you have called them to do.
Ahora, Padre, te ruego que tú les des la sabiduría.
Father, now I ask you that you would give them the wisdom.
Y el entendimiento para que ellos, al igual que todos.
And the understanding so that they will be able to.
Venimos para aprender cada día más de ti, Padre.
We are here so that we can learn from you every day more, Father.
Así también, Padre, te pedimos por todos los oyentes, Señor, que también podamos entender tu palabra.
And Father, we also ask you this morning that you be with all of us, Father, that we may understand your word.
Ahora, Padre, en tus manos los pongo, Señor, para que ellos ejerzan el sacerdocio, Padre.
Now, Father, I just put them both in your hands, Father God, that you may bless them.
En el nombre de tu Hijo, amado Jesucristo, Señor, te lo ruego y te doy gracias, Padre. Amén y amén.
In the name of your Son, Father, I ask you and I thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen and amen. Thank you, sir.
Muchas gracias, señor. Que Dios lo bendiga. Que tenga buen día.
God's blessing over your service.
Que Dios lo bendiga sobre su servicio esta mañana.
Amen. And thank you again for joining us.
Amén y gracias por estar con nosotros esta mañana.
Adiós.
Adiós. Bendiciones.
Adiós.
All right, praise God. That was special. You can sit down there. Praise the Lord. So we're working on a timeline this morning. We were trying to get ahead of the timeline, but some things went awry at the beginning of the service, so we got a little off of that. So praise God. So we're talking about the gifts and the callings of God in the New Testament sense. And the last I ended with, for God's gifts and his call can never be withdrawn. So God is not taking back the things that he's giving. Praise the Lord. But then there's also one aspect that is really, really important. It's for those that are in the congregation, in the church family, to give the honor and respect to the offices to which people are called. In Hebrews chapter 13, verse 17, it says, obey those who lead or rule over you and be submissive, for they watch out for your souls as those who must give an account. Let them do so with joy and not with grief, for that would be unprofitable for you. So it's a really a heavy responsibility for somebody to step into an office, because we step into the place where one day we'll have to give an account to God for those that we're responsible for and those that we're ministering to. I don't know if you can understand or feel the weight of that, but it is a huge responsibility. So it's not easy to take leadership positions, nor should it be taken lightly. That's why it's really, really important to know that you have the calling of God before you step into some particular calling or office, because if you're not called, you won't likely have the grace to bear up under the pressure that is required, the pressure of the responsibility that you're taking on. So it's so important to be to be called of God and to understand and to know that calling, because you do have that responsibility. And then on the part of the church family, on the part of those that are being ministered to, They have a responsibility to love and to honor those that God has put into those positions, to pray for them, to hold them up, to lift them up. You know, my pastor used to say it this way, even great men of God have feet of clay. So nobody's impervious to the attacks of the devil. Everybody can be tempted. There are lots of ministers who quit. There are lots of ministers who fail. There are lots of ministers who fail morally in other ways. And it's only by the grace of God that you can walk by faith and take every step of the way and stay faithful to God when you're leading people. So it's our responsibility to pray and to believe God and to honor the giftings that God has given us. In 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 17, it says, "Let the elders who rule well be counted worthy of double honor, especially those who labor in the word and doctrine. For the scripture says, 'You shall not muzzle the ox when it treads out the grain,' and the laborer is worthy of his wages." Do not. So let me stop there for just a second. When it says worthy of double honor, that really means, in the sense that he's talking about, and in context here, he's talking about double pay. I don't know if you think that's fair or not, because sometimes people think, you know, I've had people tell me, why don't you get a real job? So I'm not taking pay, so it doesn't matter to me, and I laugh at him. My father one time said to me, this was after some contention about, you know, the denomination that he was in and so forth. He said, "Why don't you go to the seminary and become a real pastor?" At that point, I could laugh because, you know, I was secure enough in what God had called me to do that I didn't have to think about what did my dad think about me. I was just thinking about what my Father in heaven thought about me. And I loved my dad, and, you know, I forgave him right away, and I laughed at him, and I said, "You know, Dad, I think I'm doing what God called me to do." But sometimes, you know, you don't have the approval of family, you don't have the approval of friends, you don't have the approval of anybody. But if you got God's approval, you're in. Praise the Lord. And you can live with that. Praise God. So anyway, the laborer is worthy of his wages. So we should never begrudge ministers or ministry employees what God is entrusting them with, salaries and wages and those kind of things. We should be happy and rejoice with them and do our best to support them financially as well as in the other areas of their lives as they walk with God and as they lead us. Praise the Lord. Then verse 19 says, "Do not receive an accusation against an elder except from two or three witnesses. Those who are sinning, rebuke in the presence of all, that all the rest may also fear." So it's kind of a two-edged sword. You know, we don't tolerate or cannot tolerate sin or conflict within the church body and the church family, but neither should we just accept every accusation that comes against people, because, you know, the world is full of stuff, and sometimes God uses people, sometimes even friends, to come against those who are leading. So we need to be careful in the house of God and protect those that are in ministry and those who are walking out their callings with God. So I want to close with this, with these thoughts. How can you know if you're called by God? How does a person know that they have that calling and that God is really wanting them to step into that, you know, maybe a new area of ministry or a new leadership role or any kind of role with God? So the first thing is do they have the calling of God? Are they demonstrating and operating it? You know, Moses, when he came to the burning bush, he heard the voice of God. And he looked into that bush and he saw a phenomenon. He saw a bush that was on fire that wasn't being consumed. It drew his attention. And when he got to the bush, God began to speak to him. But when God spoke to him, Moses didn't feel adequate or qualified to do what God was calling to do. So he started arguing with God about the calling and so forth. So God is gracious and God is good, and he began to demonstrate for Moses how he would use him, how he would work for him, and he confirmed with supernatural signs and wonders how he could walk. So how can you know the calling of God is on you? Well, if you're not operating in any of those aspects of calling before you're knowing that you're called, it's probably not the call of God. It might just be you wishing to do something. But if those giftings are already being demonstrated in your life and you're already walking in some of them, it's a pretty good sign that that's the calling that God has for you. Praise the Lord. Then you have opportunities to prove out that calling before you're officially put into some kind of position or office where you're required to be responsible for other people. Second thing is, have they served well? The example of Elijah and Elisha is a good one. Elisha poured water over Elijah's hands. Not a very noble task, but he was a faithful servant. He stuck by him through thick and thin. And you can see at the end of Elijah's life, he wouldn't leave him. I'm not going to leave you. Three times Elijah told him, stay here, I'm going to go on. And he wouldn't do it. All the prophets and the naysayers were saying, you're going to lose your master. Do you know it? He said, just shut up. Just be quiet. Let me go with him. Just be quiet. So sometimes it's not easy. It's not easy to serve God. But when you serve faithfully and you serve well, and you do your work, the work that you're asked to do with a heart that I'm not working for men, I'm working for God, then God will confirm your calling and he will put you in a position to receive. Number three, do their peers see their leadership? Those who are in leadership with them, do they see them? Do they see that they are qualified workers of God? Now, the Bible tells us in the book of Acts, forgotten exactly the chapter, where they appointed deacons. It says that the widows of the Gentiles were not being served well. And so they appointed deacons. Is that in 8 or 9? 6. So anyway, you could read the story, but they were not being served well. So the apostles said to them, you pick out men full of faith and full of the Holy Spirit to do this task. Well, they picked out Stephen and Philip and 5 other persons to serve in those capacities because they were recognized by the body of Christ as being people who were faithful, people who were servers, people who had the heart of God. And, both Stephen and Philip, they went far beyond serving tables. I mean, Philip won all of Samaria to Jesus. Stephen was martyred for his faith. But they were all servants of God, and they were recognized by those who were in leadership with him and by the body of believers that they were serving. So number four, do they have integrity? So important that people who are in the ministry have integrity. In 1 Timothy 3 and Titus chapter 1, you can read what the qualifications are to be in leadership in a ministry. A very, very pertinent things that have are still pertinent to our day. They're not something that was just, well, that they just did that in the Bible times. This is about today. This is about now. This is about the requirements that God has for leadership. Number five, are they recommended by apostolic leadership? In Acts chapter 13, the Bible tells us that there were certain prophets and teachers, and as they were fasting and praying, the Lord spoke to them and said, set aside Barnabas and Saul for the work that I've called them to. This wasn't done lightly. They were seeking God. The apostolic leadership of that church family was seeking God to know what to do, what are the next steps, and so forth and so on. And so they fasted and prayed before God. And during that time, God spoke to them and confirmed the calling that he had for Paul and Barnabas. And the Bible said that after that happened, they fasted some more, and then they sent them out to do the work of the ministry that God had called them to do. So important to have apostolic approval over your calling, because it's another confirmation. Now, for Sarah and Santos, even when Pastor Emilio, a true apostle of God, was with us, he confirmed at lunch one day that he had seen this many years ago before they were even married. So pretty amazing thing. And he had spoken to me about that before, so I was aware that he was I was aware that he thought that. I never went to Sarah and I never went to Santos and said, you know, this is what Pastor Emilio says about you. They weren't even married. Praise God. But apostolic ministry, they have giftings that see things that the rest of us maybe wouldn't ever see. But praise God for that. So one final thing. It's not human nature to like or to agree with transition. A lot of us don't like change of any kind. It's true of people who are candidates for ministry or who are stepping into new ministry. It's true of people who they are ministering to and responsible for. It's just a natural thing. But God always vindicates those that he calls into the ministry. So it's not about whether people like it or don't like it or agree with it or don't agree with it. It's about what is God's plan, what is his purpose, and what is he setting for. And when we learn to follow the leading of God, and when we learn to follow the leading of leadership who is following the instructions of God, the whole body is blessed. There's growth, there's prosperity, there's strength, there's life there. So there's just one last story from 2 Kings chapter 2 just to demonstrate this. In verse 15, it said, "Now when the sons of the prophets who were from Jericho saw him," so that is saw Elisha, "they said, 'The spirit of the Lord, the spirit of Elijah rests on Elisha.' And they came to meet him and they bowed to the ground before him." So it looks like everything's okay. It says, "Then they said to him, 'Look now, there are 50 strong men with your servants. Please let them go and search for your master, lest perhaps the spirit of the Lord has taken him up and cast him upon some mountain or into some valley.' And he said, 'You shall not send anyone.'" You get that? He said, "Don't send anyone. Don't do this." Verse 17. "But when they urged him till he was ashamed, he said, 'Send them.'" Did you get that? "Therefore they sent 50 men, and they searched for 3 days, but they did not find him." Verse 18, "And when they came back to him, for he had stayed in Jericho, he said to them, 'Did I not say to you, do not go?'" So here's my suggestion. Don't put your pastors in a position of having to say, "Didn't I tell you?" Because God always gets his way. Amen? Praise the Lord. We don't need to fight with God. We got enough fights without trying to fight God. Amen? Praise the Lord. All right, so we're going to transition into the ordination ceremony. So I'd like Sarah and Santos to come forward at this time. I guess you can just stand. Yeah, you can stand here facing me, maybe. So you can face me, and I would like the leadership to come and stand behind them, please. You just stand right up here, and the leadership behind them. Pastor Karen, you come here. All right. So I want to share just a couple of scriptures that I think really pertain to the spiritual giftings that God has given you and how to handle that. The first one's from Romans chapter 12, verse 3. It's about serving God with your spiritual gifts. He says, "For this I say, through the grace given to me, to everyone who is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but think soberly as God has dealt to each one the measure of faith. For as we have many members in one body, but all the members do not have the same function, so we, being many, are one body in Christ, and individually members of one another. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given us, let us use them. If prophecy, let us prophesy in the proportion of our faith. Or ministry, let us use it in our ministry. And he who teaches in teaching, he who exhorts in exhortation, he who gives with liberality, he who leads with diligence, and he who shows mercy with cheerfulness. So it's so important to serve God with your spiritual gifts to the best of your ability, to throw yourself into it, to give it your all. Verse 9 says, let love be without hypocrisy. Abhor what is evil. Cling to what is good. Be kindly affectionate to one another with brotherly love. In honor, giving preference to one another. Not lagging in diligence. Fervent in spirit. Serving the Lord. Rejoicing in hope. Patient in tribulation. Continuing steadfastly in prayer. Distributing to the needs of the saints. And given to hospitality. I know that you're already doing many of those things. God has called you, he's gifted you, anointed you, and you've already done that many times over. But God is saying, don't let up now. It's just the beginning. Verse 14, bless those that persecute you. Bless and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice, and weep with those who weep. Be of the same mind toward one another. Do not set your mind on high things, but associate with the humble. Do not be wise in your own opinion. Repay no one evil for evil. Have regard for good things in the sight of all men. If it is possible, as much as depends on you, live peaceably with all men. Beloved, do not avenge yourselves, but rather give place to wrath, for it is written, vengeance is mine. I will repay, says the Lord. Therefore, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he's thirsty, give him a drink. For in so doing, you will heap coals of fire on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. So those things are things that you and we as leadership need to take heart every day. They're serious things. Sometimes they're weighty things. But God, through his Holy Spirit, is endowing you with giftings and with his grace for this ministry that God is calling you into. He will never leave you. He will never forsake you, so that you can boldly say, I'll not be afraid of what man shall say or do, because the Lord is my helper. Praise God. So Santos and Sarah, you have demonstrated a diversity of gifts from the Holy Spirit and a lifestyle of faithful service to the Lord and to this family of believers. In recognition of the calling of God on your lives, and as authorized in the bylaws of My Father's House Incorporated, we as the executive officers of My Father's House hereby confer upon you all the rights and the privileges of ordained ministers, as long as you are in fellowship with My Father's House and while maintaining a godly lifestyle and scriptural standard of teaching. So we're going to lay hands on you. We're going to lay hands on you and shut up, Siri. Quiet.
One moment. Still working.
No, you're not. You're done.
Cut off, Siri.
All right. Praise the Lord. So we're going to lay hands on you, and we're going to have leadership lay hands on you as well. But we're believing God with you for an awesome service to him. That's fine. I think that'd be okay. All right. Praise the Lord. I don't know how to do this with one hand, two hands, three hands. Thank you, Jesus. May the spirit of faith that is evidenced in the lives of men of God like Smith Wigglesworth, Howard Carter, Lester Sumrall, rise up within you, the same spirit of faith. May the wisdom of God fill your lives and promote you before both the great and the lowly. May the love and compassion of Jesus be the driving force in your personal lives, your marriage, and your ministry. And may God bless and prosper you and keep you in good health, even as your soul prospers according to the word of God. Thank you, Father, for impartation, for for special precious anointing coming over Santos, coming over Sarah, for this work of the ministry that you've called them to. Let your blessings make them rich and add no sorrows with them. And thank you, Father, that your peace that surpasses all understanding is going to keep and guard their hearts and their minds in Christ Jesus. Thank you for the impartation of your Spirit into them to carry out the tasks, the duties, and the requirements, Father, of the offices that they're stepping into. And Father, though those gifts are differing, even between the two of them, thank you, Father God, that you're raising them up for this time and this hour, and that they'll be used in a mighty way in this community. Thank you, Father, for blessing them and keeping them and making your face to shine upon them, for being gracious to them and lifting your countenance upon them and filling them with your peace. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Amen. Praise the Lord. So now, leaders, if you have some word to speak over them, go ahead and share that word now.
Out of Exodus 17, verse 5, the Lord answered Moses, "Go out in front of the people. Take with you some of the elders of Israel, and take in your hand the staff with which you struck the Nile, and go." You'll be stepping out in front of us, and we're surrounding you, and you go.
As an older man to two younger ministers of the Lord, I would like to share the words of an older apostle to the young man Timothy from 2 Timothy chapter 4. And I share this because I believe that these are important words for the both of you. And also these are words that the body can hear as well, because it requires their recognition of what God is placing and entrusting upon you. And so from 2 Timothy chapter 4, we read these words. "In the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who will judge the living and the dead, and in view of his appearing and his kingdom, I give you this charge." A charge is not a suggestion. Preach the word. We're living in times when this will be ever so important. Preach the word. Be prepared in season and out of season. Correct, rebuke, and encourage. And as I've many times said, not only are the things that are in a list important, but also very often the order within which they are given. And you see, the first one, Paul says, correct, because that's what most people just appreciate and love about you. Okay? They say, "Oh, thank you for correcting me, Brother Santos." Or sisters. Yeah. Correct, rebuke, and encourage, but with great patience and careful instruction. For the time will come when men will not put up with sound doctrine. We are there today. Instead, they will gather around them a great number of teachers to say what their itching ears want to hear. There are a lot of voices on Facebook, YouTube, and beyond that. They will turn their ears away from the truth and turn aside to myths. But you, verse 5, keep your head in all situations. Keep your head in all situations. Endure hardship. You can expect it. Endure it. Do the work of an evangelist, and you too do. Discharge all the duties of your ministry, and they're ever expanding. but so you can go in the power and the strength of the Holy Spirit. That's why Jesus said, do not leave my Father's house until you have been endued with power from on high. After that, the Holy Spirit has come upon you. I did paraphrase that a little. And you will be witnesses unto me, and so on. So go forth in his power, in his strength, and may the power of the Holy Spirit daily manifest in your lives in extraordinary, supernatural ways. So you will be a blessing as you are blessed.
Okay. For I have trusted you with little, and you have been faithful, both of you. And now I trust you with much. I am the Lord your God that sees you through all and all. I am the mighty one, the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. And you, my faithful servants, are marching forward in what I've called you to do. For he goes with you every day of your life. Go in power, go in strength. For he has given you the Holy Spirit. Don't look into men, but look to me, says the Lord. For I've empowered you, and I have given you all of it. For in my name, many will come to my Father's house and seek from you wisdom, leadership. And you have the Holy Spirit to guide you and direct you. So don't look to men, look to me, says the Spirit of God.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for impart them with blessing you never see, you never experience anymore of being lack. You are no lack. So that's what the Lord said, that you can go forward with, especially financial. Yeah. Don't worry about what you don't have, because he already have that in store for you. Amen.
So I have this scripture that the Lord gave me for the two of you from Acts chapter 26. But rise and stand on your feet, for I've appeared to you for this purpose, to make you a minister and a witness, both of the things which you have seen and the things which I will yet reveal to you. I will deliver you from the Jewish people as well as from the Gentiles to whom I now send you, to open their eyes in order to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan to God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and an inheritance among those who are sanctified by faith in me. Praise the Lord. So, Father,
thank you. Yesterday we were at our friend's celebration of life, and tribute after tribute came in for the love that he shared with everybody. And it was such a blessing to us, because we started our walk in Jesus with this couple. We lived with them in fellowship as we were just beginning to walk in the Lord. And so we saw Stan at the very beginning. And it wasn't a pretty sight, but what God showed me was the love that God had for him and God's faithfulness. Because then over the years, you know, he grew and grew. And the tributes that came in yesterday about Stan's life and how it affected so many people. And God simply showed us, yes, I'm a faithful God. And just as he's been faithful to Stan and to us, he will be faithful with you as you remain in him. So just be encouraged by that faithfulness of God. He never changes.
Praise the Lord. Glory. So bless you in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father, for their dedication and their consecration and for the different paths that you've brought them along to bring them to this place. Thank you, Father, for the great memories that they've already created with us, with the church leadership, with the church family. And thank you, Father, especially for what you're about to do into and through them as they move forward under your grace. Let your grace for living come over them, that they can always serve you with acceptably with reverence and with godly fear, because we know you're a consuming fire, but we also know that you're the fire that burns brightly within them, that the fire of God, the mantle that's coming upon them, Lord, is the fire of the Holy Spirit, the same fire that John said, the one is coming, is following me, will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. So thank you, Father God, for your fire, Lord, that cleansing fire, purifying fire, the fire of the refiner's fire, Lord, but also the fire of the Holy Ghost, Lord. Father, may their lives just demonstrate the power and the supernatural grace of God, the favor of God, the blessing of God, and the anointing of your Holy Spirit as they go about their ministries, Lord. Thank you for raising up Santos in administrative areas and as well as pastoral areas, Father God. The great gifting needed by this church family. Thank you, Father, for raising up Sarah and her teaching giftings and her pastoral ministry giftings, Lord, that you are gracing her, Lord, for this next season. And thank you, Father God, for the privilege of them being part of our church family, Lord. You are so faithful, and we are so grateful, Lord, for the next generation, Lord, that they are ushering in. Thank you, Jesus, for everything you've done for us, and thank you for your grace for going forward. Father, in Jesus' name, amen.
Thanks for listening to this episode of My Father's House podcast. We hope you'll subscribe to hear our latest updates. My Father's House is a non-denominational Christian church located at 5712 Bass Road in Fort Wayne, Indiana. We invite you to visit us by checking schedule information at mfhfw.org. At our website, you can also support the work of My Father's House with your tax-deductible donation. We pray that you may prosper in all things and be in health, just as your soul prospers.